Please turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. And today we will be looking at verses 8 to 24, though with a special focus on verses 17 to 24. As we consider this topic, who giveth life? Life or death? What will you choose? I believe that every one of you here will want to choose life. Who wants to die? No one, isn't it? And so, since we choose life, then we ought to know who exactly giveth life. As people of the flesh, as we have seen last week, we often need to sustain these bodies of ours so that we can carry on living in this world. We need food, we need water. And so it is very natural for the people of the world to labor very hard for the meat that perisheth. For in our minds, we need this meat in order to sustain our life. And sometimes in our seeking for this meat that perisheth, we forget that this meat is obtained not by our own strength. This meat is provided not by anyone in this world, but this meat is one that is provided by the one living and true God. Yes, the Lord, Jehovah, is the one that provides all that is necessary to sustain our life upon this world. The children of Israel forgot about that. They look at the nations around them, which seem to thrive in terms of their harvest. And they come to this false conclusion that this harvest was given to them by the gods of the nations. And so Israel in those days began to worship not only Jehovah, but they also began to worship Baal. And this was made worse also because of the wife of King Ahab, Jezebel, who came from Tyre, who came from Sidon, bring along her false god. And she was one who pushed for Baal to be the one to be worshipped in Israel. And so, this was a time of great spiritual declension, and in this time of great spiritual declension, the Lord raised up Elijah to contend for him. And Elijah was sent to the widow that lived in Zarephath, right, in Sidon. And there in Sidon, the Lord performed a great miracle whereby he used the widow of Zarephath, who had just a meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, of which the amount only should, at least, humanly speaking, feed herself and her son for one meal. Like, the Lord used this little amount and multiply it, right, so that throughout the time of the drought, there was enough, right, to feed this widow, to feed the son of the widow, and also to feed the prophet Elijah. And the message is emphatic that Baal who is accounted to be the God, inverted commas, of the rain and of fertility, is no real God, but is a false God, because in the time of drought, he cannot even give rain and provide for those who worship him. Who then was the one who was the true God of rain and fertility? Well, it's none other than Jehovah. Jehovah is the one who is able to provide all that is necessary to sustain life. Well, that is the message behind the miracle, right, that is found in verses 8 to 16. And that is something that we ought not to forget. The food on our table, the salary that we receive when we work, the shelter above our heads, all that is necessary for this life, is given to us by God. He is the one that sustains our life. And sometimes when we have abundance of all these things, we forget. And we begin to think that, oh, it's my own strength that we obtain these things. Worst of all, we begin to think that it is these things that give us life. Is the food on my table? It is this bread and butter that I eat? It is the shelter over my head that gives me life. And then these things become our idols. We begin to worship all these things. And therefore, if you have this in your heart and in your mind, what is being written here in 1 Kings chapters 17, verses 17 to 24 is very instructive for us. Because in these verses, God demonstrates that He is not only the sustainer of our life, but importantly, He is the source of our life. He is the giver of life. He is the one who has the power over life and death itself. So understand the two different messages, right, that we have, right, in these miracles. The first one, right, He shows that He is the one who sustains our life. He's the provider of all that is necessary to sustain our life. The people thought that, oh, Baal is one that can provide all these things. The Lord shows that, no, He can't provide all these things, even though He is termed as such. I am the Lord. I am sovereign over all these things. And so, as the one living and true God, I am the one who can provide for all that is necessary to sustain your life. But that is not the only way in which I am greater than Baal. I am greater than Baal because I am the living God, and as the living God, I am the one who giveth life. Baal cannot give life, I can. I am the only one who can give life. And so this is what happened here in 1 Kings chapter 17. The scripture here says, and it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, right, and so here, the Bible purposely used the word the mistress of the house. And interestingly, the word mistress down here is also Baal, right, in the feminine form. She's the Baal of the house, right? The word Baal actually means master and lord. Right, she's supposed to be the lord of the house, but obviously she is powerless even, right, with regards to the life of her son. So the son of the woman, who is supposed to be the Baal of the house, fell sick. Can she even help the son in the state of his sickness? No, because this sickness was so great, was so severe, that nothing can be done to heal the son. And this son finally died because of this illness, right? No breath was left in the son. And so the woman became very bitter. And then she went up to Elijah. What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? In other words, what the widow is trying to say to Elijah is this. It is better that if you have not come. Because if you have not come, then my son would not have died. And sometimes in the service of the Lord, if you want to be a prophet for him, and in some sense all of us are called to be a prophet of the Lord, right? Because we are called to testify for his name's sake. You've got to be prepared for things like this. You minister to some soul, and the soul through you have received goodness from the Lord. In this case, the widow had received goodness from the Lord through the ministry of the prophet Elijah. Remember, if the prophet Elijah had not in the first place come to her and then said to her, oh, please provide me with something to eat. Please provide me with a little cake first and trust in the Lord that as the Lord liveth, the cruse of oil shall not fail, the barrel of meal shall not waste, all that you need throughout this period of drought will be provided. Just maybe this little cake. If Elijah had not come to her and said these words, and then if she did not have, and she did not act according to what the prophet Elijah had said, she would probably have died, because all that was left for her was that little meal, that little oil. How soon did this widow forget what goodness she has received from the Lord through the hand of Elijah? So be prepared. Sometimes things like this can happen. Now the thing is, how do we react when we receive such unjust criticism? The Bible here says in verse 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. You realize that Elijah did not even do anything to try to defend his name. Now, this is not to say that in certain circumstances, a person should not try his best to vindicate what he has done. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul, in the book of Corinthians, had to vindicate certain things which he had done, because the ministry, it was at stake. The name of Christ was at stake. But what is important down here, the principle down here is that in all things, we need to trust the Lord to vindicate. And in this case, the prophet Elijah simply just kept quiet. He just simply trusted that the Lord will bring all things to pass, that the Lord would in the end make all things clear to the widow. And he just simply proceeded to say to the widow, give me thy son. No need to act in the vengeful way. No need to have a very bitter spirit. Just simply say, give me thy son. And he took the son into her bosom. And then he carried him up into a loft. A loft would be the upper story of the residence where he was staying. And then he laid him upon his own bed. Now observe the word of Elijah very, very carefully down here. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? In other words, what Elijah is saying unto the Lord is this, surely it cannot be that you brought me all the way here just to slay this son of the widow, who in the very beginning, in verses 8 to 16, you have made it clear that you will provide for them. Why do you bring me all the way to be the instrument whereby you have used me in order to mete out this goodness and mercy unto them by providing them all that is necessary through this period of drought? And then at the end of this period, you decided to slay the son. It just simply make no sense. Surely there must be a higher purpose why you have brought me down here. It cannot be that at the end of it, instead of a message of life to the widow, in this land that is dominated by Baal worship, that you instead choose to slay this son. What would the people in the land of Tyre and Sidon say? Would they not say that, oh, you know, this God is fake? He says that he can provide all this meal, he can provide all this oil, he can provide whatever is necessary through the period of the drought. But at the end of it, he cannot even preserve the life of the son. He is a fake God. It cannot be. Surely you have asked me to come here so that your name will be glorified. And so, therefore, in faith, he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. And then he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. These words are words of stupendous faith. Why so? Because if you study the record in the Old Testament, you will realize that this is the first record of an event whereby a person has died, has been risen again from the dead. This is the first event. Now, we know that during the time of Abraham and Isaac, remember that God asked Abraham to bring Isaac up to the mount, right, in order to offer his son as a burnt offering unto him. And by burnt offering, we mean that this entire offering, his entire son, is to be slain and is to be burned wholly unto the Lord. And we know from the book of Hebrews that Abraham had the faith to believe that even though his son be sacrificed wholly unto God, but since God has promised him that the nation would come forth from Isaac, that the Lord can raise Isaac from the dead. Right, that was the faith of Abraham. Nevertheless, we know that in that particular event, God asked Abraham to stay his life. Okay? So Abraham was the first to have the faith to believe that God can raise somebody from the dead. But in that particular case, Isaac did not die. Now, this was the first case. This was the first case recorded in the entire scriptures whereby somebody died, and here you have a man, even though there was no case before whereby anybody has been risen again from the dead, who prayed unto the Lord, Lord, you have brought me here in order to glorify thy name. If this son is now dead, then what would the people of the nation say? The message that is sent to them will be something that is contrary to what I know about you. You are greater than Baal. The Baal is a dead god. Baal is a false god. Baal cannot even provide anything that will sustain the physical life of the people in the land. But you are not a dead god. You are the living God and therefore the true God. And so, since you are the one who can provide all that is necessary to sustain the physical life of the people upon this earth, then surely you can also show the people that you are not just the one who can sustain their physical life, but you are the one who is also the source of all life. Death is nothing before you. You are the one who is in control of death and life. And so with regard to this particular boy, even though now he lay here without any breath, yet you have the power, you have the sovereignty, you are the one who can give him life again. Nobody has ever raised somebody from the dead before this. Elijah prayed this prayer unto the Lord. O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child soul come into him again. And this is exactly what happened here in verse 22. in order to prove that the Lord is not only the sustainer of life, He is the one that is the giver of life, the one who is the source of life. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And then Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him into his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son, he liveth." And this caused the woman to exclaim, "Now by this I know." Now, it does not mean that she did not know that Elijah was a man of God earlier on. She must have known Elijah was a man of God earlier on, because when Elijah mentioned to her, or gave her the instruction in order to cook that little cake for her, she listened. But even though she knew that, humanly speaking, when she has baked for him that little cake, there will be nothing that is left for her and for her son. But she listened, she obeyed. She would not have done so if she thought that this person was a charlatan. She knew that he was truly a man that was sent of God. And at the point of time, she also trusted that what he said was also true. Then how should we understand verse 24 here when he says, "Now by this I know." Now the way to understand this word "know" is this. Now by this I experientially know. I now fully know. I know in a deeper manner, now having experienced this for myself, that indeed you are a man truly sent by God. And the word of the Lord, take note, the word of Jehovah himself, in thy mouth. So whatever Elijah said is what God has commanded him to say. The word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. There is no falsehood inside of it. And this was a very, very stupendous confession in a region whereby the people worship Baal. Baal worshippers would have claimed, "Oh, the word of Baal is true, the word of Baal is true." But here in the land that worship Baal, you have this lady who says, "I now can truly see that Baal is false." But the one who is true, the one true God in this world, is none other than God, than Jehovah. He is the God of Israel, is the true God. Because whatever he says is true. Whatever he says, come to pass. If Baal is true, then whatever Baal says will have come to pass. But whatever Baal says did not come to pass. But whatever God says, it comes to pass. And moreover, the fact that my child can come to life, it shows that he is the living God. If Baal is a living God, then if I have gone to Baal, then Baal should be able to have resurrected my child. But Baal cannot do that. But the God of Israel, he can do that. And since he is the God that is living, and Baal is not the God that is living, then Baal cannot be the true God. Jehovah must be that true God, because he giveth life. Can a dead God give life? A dead God can never give life. There is no God, false God, right, inverted comma, the gods of this world, there is none that can ever give life to anyone. Not one. Not one. Only the one living and true God, which is Jehovah, can do so. And this is exactly the God that we need to go to if we do not want to die and we want to live, isn't it? This is the God in whom we must place our trust in. We ought not to place our trust in, for example, the riches of the world. Can the riches of the world give you life? The riches of the world cannot give you life. You can be the greatest billionaire in this world. What can this money give to you? Oh, you say all this money can buy for me all the bread and the butter that is in the world. Sure, the bread and butter can keep you full, but after you eat of it, you still grow hungry. And even then, you think that all the bread and butter of this world can sustain your life if the giver of life, the source of life itself, has decided that your time is up. You look at some of these people who pass on from this world. Some of these people pass on from this world. They are rich millionaires. They are rich billionaires. But some of them, they die young. Can the bread and butter that is placed before them prevent them from losing their life? No. When God says your time is up, your time is really up. Your time is really up. All the bread and butter can do for your life, please understand it, is only sustain your physical life here upon this earth. That's it. It only prolongs your stay here upon this earth. If the Lord himself says that your stay upon this earth is up, it is up. You have all the riches of this world, it doesn't matter. It cannot prevent you from lying in the grave. You can have all the education that you have in this world, and that is exactly what Singaporeans, a lot of Singaporeans crave, right? Riches as well as education. You can have all the education you have in this world. You get all the degrees from bachelor's, then after that master's, then after the doctorate, then after the doctorate, double doctorate, whatever doctorate, all the DDDDs you get, right? Until you get PhD, permanent head damage. And in the end, can it prevent you from losing your life if the Lord decides to say your time is up? No. You can get whatever you want in this world. Do whatever good works which before the Lord, which the Lord says are but filthy rags, if you have not believed in me, and none of it can stop you from losing your life when the Lord says your time is up. And moreover, God's word tells us that after we lie in the grave, that is not the end of everything. For if you die in your sins, the Bible tells us what awaits you is eternal death. Your soul will be separated from your body, and then it would be in hell, awaiting for a time whereby you will be resurrected and you will stand before the great white throne, and there before the great white throne, the Lord will judge you, and this time you'll be sentenced into the lake of fire forever and ever. Eternal death, eternal condemnation. And then, reality will really hit home. Can that bread and butter which you are laboring for in your life really give you life? It cannot, my dear friends, it cannot. And so therefore, why is our life all about bread and butter? Bread and butter, why is it about the meat that perisheth upon this earth, when you know all these things can never, ever truly give you life? These things cannot. Please consider all these things, and please do not think that just because you are now living and that some of you are young, that you do not need to consider all these things, because remember, life and death are not in your hands. If your time is up, and if you have not never really gone to the giver of life himself and ask for him to provide you, to really give you that true life, that eternal life that is in him, then it will be all over for you. I am make more and more aware of this fact that any time we can lose our life by events that recently occur. You know, when I was a young man, studying the Bible in the fundamental Christian ministry, and we studied together as, well, I was studying together with mates, one of the classmates of, is my wife here, right? We studied the Bible together. We never ever thought that the people around us would go so soon. But in just this one year, we have lost two of our mates due to cancer. One is lung cancer, the other one is colon cancer. And one of them leave behind a wife who have three children and one about to come. And this wife that he left behind was also one of our mates who studied the Bible together. Young, but if the Lord says your time is up, your time is really up. And if your time is up, and then if you have never really gone to the giver of life before and pleaded for him for mercy that you will not experience eternal death, then it will be all over for you. So you must really go to him. You must really understand who is it that will allow you to live. The one that will allow you to live, the one that is the source of life, the giver of life, is none other than God himself. And he gives that through what? He gives that through his precious word. The word which is truth. That's why God's word says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. You go to God and his word, and you ask the Lord, Lord, please, forgive me. I am a great sinner. And I know that it is my sin that has separated me and you. And I know, Lord, that if I do not have my sins cleansed, then what awaits me is eternal death. Thou who art the giver of life, will you not forgive me and have mercy upon me and give me life? For I believe what you have said in thy word, that Jesus Christ, who is the living word, has come into this world to die for my sins. And he shed his precious blood. And then he was buried. And then on the third day he rose again from the dead. And now is ascended into heaven. And that all who truly repent from their sin and believeth in him shall have eternal life. Oh Lord, I want that life. Please forgive me and give me that life. And the Lord will give you that life because he is that giver of life. If only you will go to him. You know, this event that occurred down here whereby the Lord declares that he is the giver of life ought to also have been the message which the people should understand during the New Testament, especially in John chapter 11. What did Jesus Christ do in John chapter 11? Right, Jesus Christ raised up Lazarus, isn't it? From the dead. And there Jesus Christ, I declare this about himself. You turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and here in God's word it is said, "My Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life." Right, not just the resurrection, because if Jesus Christ says that he is the resurrection, remember there are two resurrections in the Bible. One resurrection is unto life, the other resurrection is unto death, right? When a person is resurrected to stand before the great white throne, only to be sentenced into the lake of fire. So, not just the resurrection, but also the life, right, together. The resurrection whereby you, right, through Jesus Christ, you'll be resurrected, and it will be unto what? Unto eternal life, because your sins will be cleansed, and through Christ Jesus, right, you will enter into heaven. By he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, because I am the provider, I am the giver, I am the source of life. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, on one hand, when our time on earth is up, yes, we no longer have physical breath, but we lie in the grave. So in one sense, we have died. But those of us who have truly come to the giver of life, you know that your end will be different from those who have not received the gift of life from God. What will happen to that person? Well, the person will not go to hell. The person's right soul, though separated from the body, will be found safe in the arms of Jesus in paradise, in heaven. And what God will say is that one day, when Christ returns, all that believeth in Christ, right, who died in Him, shall also live in Him. They will be risen up with a glorified body, and they will live forever with the Lord, giver of life. And that is why here in God's Word, the Bible here says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall absolutely never die. It's in this sense in which this verse is presented unto us. And here we are asked, believest thou this? Well, we thank God for the good reply of Martha, who says, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, we should come into the world. Yes, she confessed that Jesus Christ indeed is not only 100% man and 100% God, and therefore the one who can give eternal life unto all. But how about those that have witnessed this miracle? Did they believe? In fact, when they have seen this miracle, it ought to jot them, right, to the miracle that has been done even by Elijah, right, in 1 Kings chapter 17, and the message is one and the same. The giver of life is God. And how did God give life? Now down here is the one that giveth life, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why won't you come to Him? Why won't you believe in Him? Why do you want to choose death when life is there before you? This is the same message that we have today. Why would you want to choose death when life is presented before you? Presented to you before what? It's here, all written in God's Word. Jesus Christ now is being presented before you. Why won't you want to come to Him? Why won't you want to receive Him? We pray that if any one of you down here have not truly believed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that this Chinese New Year period will truly be the time of salvation for you. And even if you claim and you profess that you have believed in Him, that this message ought to jot in you a blessed remembrance. What is it that matters in this life? Who do you owe your life to? Your life, you owe it entirely to Jesus Christ. And we should be moved in our hearts to go and proclaim that very same message of life, even during this Chinese New Year period. And so, it's because of this that down here, right, in the weekly today, you will find that you are provided with two tracks, right? They look like ampao. But these ampaos are, of course, a little different, right? No money inside. They are actually tracks. And colored red with two words, fu and xiang, right? Fu, right? Talks about how a person may have true prosperity, right? In Christ Jesus. Xiang, right? Reminds us of the Lamb of God, right? The left side, right? Is Sun, right? Talks about God. Yang, right? Lamb, right? The Lamb of God. Right? All this, right? Talks about how a person may truly find Fu and Xiang. By what? By going to Jesus Christ, who is the giver of eternal life. And so we pray that, you know, you all will take these tracks, and then use these tracks and give it to someone that they may be able to know who exactly giveth life. That life cometh through what? Red, right? Red reminds us of what? Right? The blood of Christ. Right? Life is in the blood of Christ. Come to Christ. That truly in this Chinese New Year period, they will find real blessing. Of course, don't just give the tract. Remember to, if it's necessary to give the real ampao, please give. Okay, don't just, oh, because I give this tract, don't need to give the ampao. Don't do that. Right? For testimony's sake, give one ampao and then give the double ampao. Right? Double blessing, that one. Okay, for testimony's sake, a good gift unto you. That little amount will help a little bit in the provision of certain physical things in this life, but this is even better. This one talks about eternal life. We pray that all of us will bear good testimony to me in the Chinese New Year period. But not only that, but even ourselves, we better make sure that we never forget this message, who is it that giveth life. If we understand it well, then our lives will be ordered aright. We will not be laboring for the meat that perisheth in this world. Just like the people in John chapter 6, just like the children of Israel in the time of 1 Kings. But instead, we will labor for that which matters in the sight of Christ. We will want to keep partaking of the bread of life, of whom when we partake of, we shall never hunger. May this be the spirit that is present in all of us here who have heard the word of everlasting life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, how we thank thee for this wonderful passage of scripture that tells us how we may have life. O Lord, thou who art the one who is the giver of life, art the one who can also give us life. And so, Lord, we come unto thee. Help us, Lord, never to forget that we owe our lives to thee. And Lord, we pray that during this Chinese New Year period, we will also go forth with this same message, to point to others that the true giver of life in this world is none other than thee, because thou art the one living and true God. There is none other that can give life but thee. And we pray, Lord, that more will be able to see this truth, that they will come to Christ and will truly find everlasting life in thee. So help us, O Lord, as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.